Time for our weekly chat with Flo Tess, your first lady of the Eugene sports scene. Find what she's up to for KEZI Sports on the Tube Channel 709. Catch up at KEZI.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at Kristen E. Rogers. KR, happy Friday. How are you?
Steve, I'm kind of okay. I mean, the fan in me is not okay because Madison Bumgarner went out and he pulled a Jeff Kent, and I'm not very happy about it right now.
It's amazing. Very rarely in the world of sports could one thing happen and everybody thinks of the same two words, Jeff Kent. But
yep.
Let's get to what's really important. You're kind of a foodie. You have your food blog. You stopped doing it a few months back to do your job or something crazy like that. So
yeah.
If we visit KristenInTheKitchen.com, what are we learning today?
Yeah, you know, cooking's always been one of my hobbies and one of my passions. It's something that growing up I always did with my mom and my dad, and we just love doing it together, and some of my favorite memories of my family are in the kitchen. So even when I have these crazy hours working, I love to take some time and kind of relax and unwind the kitchen and do some food research, as my mom says, creating new recipes and trying some new things out. People at KZI, I can tell you that I love cooking for my coworkers. I'm constantly having people over for dinner, and the blog is just kind of an extension of that, trying new recipes, things that are usually pretty quick and easy to make, because sometimes after a long day on the desk, I don't like to come home at 7:30 and, you know, spend an hour and a half cooking. And then I try to keep things a little bit healthy, but every once in a while we have a day off dish or something like that. But, you know, it's really just kind of an extension of me and showing people another side. So, you know, I am officially back to blogging. I've been doing a lot of research and doing some recipe testing this week. So I'm going to post a lot of fun things starting on Monday. So it's looking really good, Steve.
Awesome. Let's talk some Oregon softball. They had the historic start. Team is still loaded for Bear, and I guess ironically they're off to Arizona, the home of Bear Down. You posted a video on the site KEZI with Danica Mercado, who's having an amazing season, and of course Arizona, she'll see a very familiar face, her sister Mo. What did Danica have to say about facing her sibling and how they kind of deal with that kind of competition?
Yeah, don't you always love when those kind of sibling rivalries match up?
Yeah.
No, I mean, obviously, you know, she's excited to, you know, take on the challenge. There's always kind of that extra little motivation, but also kind of a pressure, an underlying pressure whenever you take on a sibling. Not that I would know because I'm an only child, but people tell me these things. You know, I think more than anything, this team is kind of putting anything like that aside, and these players are, because they know how big this series is for them. You know, they've dropped back-to-back Pac-12 series now, and that's really hurt their chances of, you know, a Pac-12 title, or, you know, how far they're going to go in the postseason. And I know, you know, Mike White said after their loss to Washington this past weekend that he, you know, he had a pet rock last year. He used to talk to the pet rock because he felt like his message was falling on deaf ears to his players. And he says he might bring that pet rock back because he feels like they're not making adjustments. And I mean, if you look at what happened at Washington, the Huskies used the same pitcher 3 days in a row, and Oregon wasn't able to get their offense going. They just couldn't make the adjustments, even though they were seeing the same pitch pretty much for three straight days and, you know, seven-plus innings every game. So, you know, it's kind of crunch time now. This is when you see their character build, and this is when you see, you know, what they can do, because it's kind of now or never. Like, they need to make the push now.
Let's get to the NBA. We've got that kind of interesting dynamic as we continue with Kristen Rogers at KEZI Sports. Big Warriors fan, but at Moda tomorrow for Game 3, Blazers, in essence, trying to stay alive. Portland fans always hopped up, but after seeing Golden State just dismantle them on Tuesday, Blazers have a shot, or right now you think the Dub's just a little too much, Durant or not?
Oh, no, I think the Blazers have a shot. I mean, yeah, you know, Durant is, you know, questionable or whatnot for tomorrow, as is, you know, Matt Barnes and, you know, a few other guys. But, you know, I think the Blazers have a shot. If you look at what Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum did in Game 1, you know, at Golden State, dropping 75 points, yeah, I feel like if they come home tomorrow in front of their home crowd, knowing that they're down 2-0, they're going to want to make something happen. You know, I feel like a lot of people were saying, no KD, no problem, in Game 2, and that, you know, really was the case. But, you know, these guys, they're something else. I've had the privilege of watching, you know, the Blazers play in the last two postseasons now, including against the Warriors last year, too. And, You know, they're a hard team to beat, and I think you're going to see the hardest fight for them tomorrow. Because that's, you know, this is it. This is game three. They don't want to get into that 3-0 hole.
Before we move to Oregon football, I've got to get 5 seconds of everyone's time because Kristen was at practice this week. She was in on the conversation with running back Tony Brooks James. So give a quick listen.
Do you guys feel like you're progressing the way that you wanted to in the season?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, you're too young. How did you get a ma'am?
I don't know. And to be honest, he's called me ma'am for the past, like, he called me ma'am all last season. And here's the thing, like, I'm not just trying to be polite, but, like, I am not much older than you, to be honest. Please do not call me ma'am. It makes me feel old. You know, when I get up in the morning and my back starts hurting, I feel like that's because I'm being called ma'am now. I'm aging way too quickly.
I heard that, and I was like, wait. I hit rewind, and then I was like, nah, we're going to have to play this. We're going to have to present the evidence. Actually, in all seriousness, he was asked about a few things, be it the return of Royce Freeman, playing more physical. Am I accurate in saying that he's feeling pretty good and pretty pumped for what lies ahead for he and those running backs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole running back core is so solid this year because not only do you have – you know, Royce Freeman coming back, but Kenai Benoit and Tony Brooks James have done some phenomenal things for the Ducks in you know, last year, and you know, they're solid, solid guys. So they know that they're in a great position, and you know, they have a, you know, a nice little kind of give and take. You know, Kenai is kind of like Royce Freeman in terms of being physical, you know, in terms of his size, and you know, he's kind of a bruiser, and Tony Brooks James is really fast. I mean, we were watching some blocking drills today, and TBJ was just down, you know, down at the other end zone. He's super quick, and you're able to see that on the field. He's very shifty. So, you know, these guys, they kind of all fit into their own category, and they all have, you know, their specialties that they can bring on the field. So the running backs are looking phenomenal this year.
Talking with Kristen Rogers of KEZI Sports, talking some Duck football. I've kind of been focusing on the linebackers because it's an area where they've struggled for two straight years. You were in on the chat with Jimmy Swain. He covered a few things. You know, the energy is nice. They need to get better. I think he actually specified the eye in the sky don't lie. Linebackers, what you're hearing, what he's saying. How's that position looking so far?
Yeah, you know, linebackers are looking really good. I think that probably the biggest thing that people are going to notice is Troy Dye moving over to middle linebacker because Jim Lovett says that he wants to see him everywhere now. So, I mean, you're seeing guys kind of take on some different positions, but knowing that Jim Lovett is the one that's really been working with them a lot, and, I mean, he works them on the field. I mean, they say they're just trying to match his intensity. It's kind of funny thinking that all these 19, 20, 21-year-olds are trying to match the intensity of a 60-year-old running around on the football field. But when you're fueled by enough Pepsi, I think it's hard to not try to match that intensity.
Yeah, where's the endorsement? That's got to be next for the season, no question.
Well, Oregon's already a Pepsi school. I mean, it's right there. It's perfect marketing. They just got to get in on it.
Let's wrap with this. You followed the basketball team to Kansas City and Phoenix and covered them all year. A lot of people trying to read into this massive exodus, and maybe Bigby Williams is going to be next. What have we learned about his status, and is something odd going on, or is it just a lot of these guys at the same time felt this was their chance to move on?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's a little bit of both, that there's something a little feels weird going on to see all these guys leave. I feel like seeing, you know, Tyler Dorsey leave was the first domino in terms of the big three of him, Brooks, and Bell. Seeing Casey Benson leave was kind of the canary in the coal mine, that there was something else happening and there's something else going on. And, you know, I know Casey, you know, says that he thinks it's best for him at this time to move on. And, you know, there's the talk about him going back to, you know, Grand Canyon to play his last year, where, you know, his brother TJ Benson is an assistant coach at. And Casey's a really heady guy. I mean, he's got a great head for the game. And, you know, I can see him having a long coaching career in front of him. So maybe trying to get into a program where he can get a foot in and make some moves there. That makes sense to me at this time. But, you know, it's weird thinking that there's now, like, Oregon was just in the Final Four, but now there's the Final Four in terms of the four players left who have actually scored 1 point or more in an Oregon basketball game last year, and that is not including Cavell Bigby Williams. I mean, you got – everyone knows Peyton Pritchard. We got that. But, you know, there's Roman Sorkin. There's Evan Gross, the walk-on, and Keith Smith. So there's not a whole lot of guys left, but this is the new Final Four, Oregon. Here you go.
Nice one. One guy with more than one. All right, let's save that. It's the off season. Follow Kristen on Twitter at Kristen E. Rogers, KEZI Channel 709. And, of course, you can catch up online, KEZI.com. Well, happy cooking. Happy travels to Portland and back. KR, always a pleasure. Enjoy your weekend.
Sounds good. You too, Steve.
Bye.